For their part, the humans had not been idle. Under the direction of their yellow-armored allies, they had steadily improved the compound's defenses, widening trench lines, bracing redoubts, and erecting firing positions.
My honor blade for a spotter drone.
Orshara's voice chimed in Kalvar's ear. The other sniper was secreted in the long grass 18 spans to his left.
Were we so blessed? No shot.
Kalvar moved again, continuing to flank right. Had the base not been studded with sensor towers and weapon turrets, then a pair of spotter drones would have located the target and extrapolated the optimal firing position. It had been a long time since Kalvar had needed to hunt the old-fashioned way.
Visual. The target is in the upper concourse. Sasla, you should have the angle.
Oshara's voice preceded a raft of tactical data, pinpointing the target's location on Kalvar's helmet display.
He is obscured. I cannot get a shot. I am moving closer.
Sasla's tone was measured, but Kalvar knew that he was anxious. Their team leader had not been the same since the massacre at Yuvra. Commander Jolmon had been his mentor. His death had scorched Sasla's spirit, robbed him of stillness. He needed to kill the enemy commander. Nothing else would settle his disquiet.
Stay where you are, Sasla. Any further forward, and they will detect you.
Kalvar felt a knot of apprehension as the blip denoting Sasla on his helm display moved towards the enemy formation.
Sasla, stop!
The words had barely left Kalvar's mouth when weapons fire erupted from the compound.
Vina!
Cursing, Kalvar adjusted his scope and took aim at a group of enemy firing at Sasla.
Stay hidden! On the blood of the arms! Stay down!
Kalvar's finger hovered on the trigger of his rifle. The Imperial base was swarming with targets. He could kill dozens of them before they pinpointed his location.
I will fire and withdraw, distracting them from you.
I am not the mission, Kalvar. Remember the mission. Kalvar!
I hear.
Kalvar eased his finger from the trigger. Even with his support, Sasla's chances were slight. He would not dishonor his memory by ignoring his final command.
The Earth keep you.
May your fire always burn.
Kalvar tracked Sasla as he rose from under a clump of leaves and ran directly away from him and Orshara. Kalvar's heart pumped faster with every step Sasla took, as though it were he himself running for his life. Dozens of human soldiers in green-brown fatigues spilled from the base in pursuit. Sasla kept running, his rifle clutched tight to his chest, the gap between him and his pursuers widening as they scanned for emergent threats. If he was lucky, he would make it into the forest. Kalvar felt the calming swell of hope as he began to think that perhaps... Five yellow-armored warriors descended on pillars of fire, landing in tight formation around Sasla. Without pause, he swung his rifle up to fire. No sooner was it shouldered than a roaring chainsword stung out and sheared the barrel in half.
The fire consume us both!
Kalvar's body tensed as he watched Sasla reach for the grenade on his belt.
No!
A single round struck him full in the face, punching through his armored helm and driving his brains out through the back of his skull. Kalvar unclipped Sasla's helmet and turned it over in his hands, running his fingers over the ragged hole in the faceplate.
Your lessons were well learned, Shasui.
Kalvar touched the helmet to his temple and respectfully placed it on his belt. Turning his attention back to the drone controller, Kalvar activated the squadron of shield drones he'd dispatched to the Aravla Pass ahead of the human convoy. It was a risky strategy, but he was certain that the drone's power output was too slight to register on the human scanners. His helm's tactical overlay flickered as it updated. Kalvar allowed himself a smile. The display showed no change. The icon denoting the convoy continued to blink as it edged towards the pass. He watched it a moment, taking joy in the deception. Kalvar adjusted the drone's power output, pushing it up past maximum. The shield drones flashed onto his overlay, their increased energy signatures making them appear like a squadron of battle tanks. The drones would soon overload and short out, but Kalvar was confident they'd last long enough to convince the humans to alter course. He cycled back through the visual feeds from the spotter drones overlooking the convoy. It had stopped. Activating the nearest drone's vocal sensors, Kalvar scanned the rearmost carrier for sound.
By the Emperor, we've stopped. We can't be there already.
The voices sounded confused. They were without clarity or purpose. Kalvar cut the feed and directed the drone to scan the next carrier.
Trooper, vox ahead and find out what in the Emperor's name is going on.
The voice was authoritative, but Kalvar detected anxiety. It was not the one.
Enemy formations detected ahead. How many? Hard to tell, sir. Looks like a squadron of vehicles. Could be armor.
The third carrier was a hive of audio signals, but there was too much indecision. The target would have been firmer, more decisive. The drone shifted its scanner to the lead carrier.
Nothing?
Kalvar muttered to himself and edged the drone closer to the convoy, trusting in its stealth field to disguise its presence. Easing his fingers across the control panel, Kalvar fine-tuned the drone's sensors. A small spike of data chimed on his display as the drone picked up a trace of audio. Kalvar examined the signal. It was as though the sound was locked within something that sat inside the vehicle. A shell within a shell.
Found you.
Sending the drone back into the clouds, Kalvar watched as the bipedal scout vehicles split off from the convoy. The walkers were moving at speed towards the phantom energy signatures he'd created.
Predictable.
Sending the drone gliding after them, Kalvar watched as the clumsy walkers bounded across the plain towards his overcharged shield drones.
One grid out. No enemy contact. Advancing.
The drone fed Kalvar a constant stream of audio from the walkers. The hydraulics and pistons in the walkers' legs fired bursts of gas that made them sound like a pair of panting croothounds as they sped up.
Approaching grid two.
A warning glyph stained Kalvar's display as the walkers' weapons cycled for firing.
Turning into grid three.
Kalvar let his hands dart across his control console, activating the three heavy gun drones that lay in wait for the walkers. The drones glided up from the ground like leaves in the wind. Idling at attack height, the drones performed systems checks and cycled their burst cannons. Their weapons were primarily designed to shred enemy infantry formations and were unlikely to critically damage the walkers. The burst cannons threw out a blistering number of shots and made a lot of noise, making them more than adequate for Kalvar's needs. The three blue signals on Kalvar's display blinked twice. The drones were ready.
For the greater good.
Using the marker light on the hovering spotter drone, Kalvar fed targeting information to the gun drones and ordered them to attack. The three drones sliced through the air in front of the walkers, burst cannons chattering into life as they doused them in a hail of energy bolts.
Enemy!
The lead pilot thumbed the trigger on his control stick and let loose with his autocannon.
Left!
The second walker spun in an attempt to track the drones, stitching a line of carnage across the hillside with its blazing weapon. The drones split up, encircling the walkers, firing and displacing before the pilots could draw a bead on them. The lead sentinel pilot boxed a hurried update to the convoy.
We're under heavy fire. Multiple enemy units dug into the hillside. They have us surrounded. Pacification. No confirmed visual. All we can see is the flash from their Emperor-damned weapons.
The two sentinels formed up back to back, turning clockwise together in a brutal dance as their weapons continued to kick out rounds.
Enemy armor? No sign of any yet. Best guess, infantry with light munitions.
Kalvar switched his viewer to the targeting feed from one of the gun drones. Cutting the power to the drone's weapons, he routed all of its energy to its propulsion system and propelled it at full speed towards the sentinels.
Victory through sacrifice.
Tapping on the controller, Kalvar ordered the drone to self-destruct. The drone exploded before it could collide with the lead walker.
Correction. Heavy rounds incoming. Possible armor. Pull back. Regroup now. Sir.
At their commander's orders, the walkers stopped firing, turned around, and loped back towards the convoy. Rejoined by the bipedal vehicles, the convoy abandoned their previous route and headed towards the forest. Kalvar's spotter drones fed him a constant stream of information as they tracked the Imperial vehicles. The terrain was rough, forcing the tanks to slow to a crawl. The ground was marred by deep craters and the remnants of the massive trees that had once covered 80% of the planet's surface. The wood from their trunks was ideal for reinforcing the assortment of earthworks popular with humans, and a great many of them had been felled over the course of the conflict. The convoy slowed further as it advanced, hindered by the wreckage of both Tau and Imperial battle tanks. Kalvar recognized the markings on one of the ruined hammerheads, a black circle bisected by a crimson spear. It belonged to the Kaishi, an elite fire warrior cadre who excelled in armored warfare. The humans would have suffered in taking the pass. He watched the convoy as it traversed the forest and emerged in the low-sided valley beyond. A kink in the rock line forced the tanks to slow almost to a stop, their hulls sparking as they squeezed along the narrow path.
Lead stopping. Watch the threats.
The lead battle tank signaled back down the line as it slowed to a stop. The path immediately ahead of the convoy was barred by the burned-out shell of a huge battle tank and the rotting carcasses of dozens of great Narloks.
Emperor's Wrath, clearing a way through.
Kalvar listened to the Vox transmission from the lead tank as it broke formation and rumbled forward, its hull-mounted weapon setting the ground ablaze. Great sheets of liquid fire washed harmlessly over the wrecked tank hull to rob the Narlok carcasses of their flesh and turn their bones to ash. Angling its dozer blade, the Emperor's Wrath crashed into the side of its stricken cousin, its tracks spitting mud into the air as they struggled against the dead weight of the massive vehicle. After several moments, the smaller tank edged the wreck aside enough to allow the convoy to pass.
Obstruction cleared. Checking ahead.
The Emperor's Wrath continued forward while the rest of the tanks waited, the walkers buzzing up and down the convoy's flanks like impatient vespid.
Not long now.
Kalvar spoke to the sniper drone hovering by his head, patting its rail rifle by way of emphasis.
Armored tank traps ahead.
The Wrath stopped in front of a line of tooth-shaped barriers and voxed its report.
Pull back 7 meters.
The voice burst across the comms, and the Wrath pulled back without question. Kalvar smiled and tasked one of the spotter drones to survey the forward transport. The feed on his helm display distorted for a moment as the drone refocused. The hydraulics at the base of the carrier's door fired, lowering the ramp until it met the earth with a dull thud that tossed dust into the air. There was a figure in the doorway, bent double in order that the carrier could accommodate its massive bulk. The figure straightened and strode down the ramp. Through his drone, Kalvar looked closer. The giant was encased in sun-golden armor, his breastplate stamped with an ash-black eagle. Impossibly large pauldrons crowned his titanic shoulders, the left emblazoned with a single black fist. Kalvar had been right before. The lead carrier contained his target.
Space Marine, highly resistant to damage. Heavy ordnance and rail weaponry recommended.
Kalvar ignored the tactical data streaming from the drone. He touched his hand to Sasla's helmet, his fingers lingering over the hole in the faceplate. He knew exactly how dangerous Space Marines were. The Space Marine pulled out a handheld device and began scanning for threats. As a precaution, Kalvar shut down all of his low-level drones, leaving only the one in the sky active. He knew of more than one Pathfinder team who had thought themselves hidden in ambush, only to be detected and slaughtered by Space Marines. Kalvar felt his fists bunch in controlled rage, the barking round that had ended Sasla still ringing in his mind.
You must be the scope, never the muzzle. Passive and observant, it is you who must show death who to take.
Kalvar let Sasla's words calm him. He had always known how to temper his fire.
The Earth, keep you with me.
Scans are clear. No explosive devices detected.
The Space Marine approached a fallen Narlok which lay slumped over the tank traps and clamped his crushing gauntlets around the beast's face. The spotter drone detected the faintest hint of sound as microservos in the Space Marine's armor lent him the strength to drag the beast out of the way. The Space Marine knelt next to the trap and used his hands to dig away some of the earth around its base. A warning flashed across Kalvar's display as the Space Marine affixed a bulky cylinder to the tank trap. He ignored it and watched as the Space Marine took a step back. A moment later, the charge detonated, obliterating the tank trap and showering the Space Marine with fiery rock and bone shrapnel. Kalvar winced as he remodulated the drone's transmitter.
Commander Keena, the humans have passed the final obstacle.
You have heard them long enough. We have exited the area. I free you from duty. Now, do as you must.
Kalvar nodded and cut the feed. There was nothing more to be said. He would have his vengeance. He remembered Sussler's body hitting the ground, the blip denoting him on Kalvar's display, blinking out.
Kalvar, follow!
Orsha, don't!
Orsha rose from concealment, his rifle tucked tight against his chin.
By the Eternal Circle!
Orsha's first round struck Sassler's killer in the chest, blasting a chunk from his armor and rocking him backwards. His second finished the job, cutting clean through the Space Marine's neck.
Dava!
Kalvar spat the curse and pushed up onto his feet. He would not let Orsha die alone.
For the greater good!
A pair of snipers advanced through the long grass at pace, firing with every step. Sassler's murderers turned to respond, but were overwhelmed by the torrent of rail rounds that crashed against their armored breastplates, shoulder guards, and helmets. They died without firing a shot.
Orsha!
Kalvar motioned to their west as threat icons swam onto his display.
Enemy!
As one, he and Orsha pivoted to their left, ejecting the spent power packs from their rifles and slamming in fresh ones without breaking stride.
There!
Orsha motioned to the press of yellow armor emerging over the ridge. Three more Space Marines died before they could react, caught off guard and gunned down. The rest took cover behind some large rocks and returned fire.
Keep them pinned!
We cannot stay here.
What do you suggest?
We go forward.
Kalvar detached a photon grenade from his belt and threw it overarm towards the Space Marines. The grenade exploded in a cacophony of sound and multi-spectrum light. Disoriented, the Space Marines stumbled from cover, firing blind. Kalvar and Orsha dived forward under the fusillade of rounds, rolling as they landed, rising with their weapons ready. Sighting down their rifles, they executed the remainder of the Space Marines with cold efficiency, firing single rounds through each of their skulls.
Forward! We can still engage the target!
Orsha pivoted to his right and turned back towards the human compound. Kalvar nodded, fed his last power pack into his rifle, and kept pace behind Orsha. He wondered how much further they would get. A blue flash tore through the trees ahead of them, striking the ground beside Orsha and burning away the meat of his thigh.
Ah!
He called out in pain as the wound forced him onto one knee. Red warnings filled Kalvar's display as the number of enemy approaching grew by the second.
Kalvar! Finish this!
Orsha was cut short as a bolt round exploded through his chest.
No!
Kalvar opened fire, ignorant of his dwindling ammunition, as he blasted away at the trees. He ceased firing as his rifle chimed in warning. He had only one round left. A hulking figure emerged from between the ruined trees. Its segmented armor was thicker, forged of heavier plate than that worn by the other Space Marines, and the color of spilled blood. A strobing identification icon blinked on Kalvar's helm display. The target had come to him.
Duty and a vengeance!
Sighting between the giant Space Marine's glowering eyes, he fired. His round burst in the air, a hand span before the target, absorbed by a crackling energy field. The Space Marine laughed, raising his glowing pistol and sending a bolt of blue energy towards Kalvar. Kalvar ignored the warning, still lost to the past. He had never stopped questioning how he had managed to survive that day. That the Auns had wielded should have been enough. But something within him needed to know what had drawn the Space Marines away. He needed to know that his fate was determined by his skill and his rifle. The second chime broke him from his reverie. The convoy was approaching.
To see and not act is to dream. To act is to burn with life. In the Auns' name, We light the fire.
He whispered the oath of battle and activated the remainder of the drone squadrons he had deployed around the valley. To his left, a sniper drone requested targeting information.
Patience, too.
Kalvar stroked the sleek curve of the drone's body.
You will kill soon.
He worked the dials of the drone controller, marking deployment coordinates and attack trajectories for the sniper and gun drones, directing the trio of shield bearers to form a loose perimeter around him. The drones chimed in acknowledgement and glided off to fulfill his commands. Leaving the controller at the top of the ridge, Kalvar eased down onto his belly and crawled down the embankment to his rifle. Nestling the weapon against his cheek, he activated the scope and smiled at the gentle vibration as its energy pack warmed up. Kalvar looked through the scope and for the first time, with his own eyes, saw the enemy. Despite himself, he was impressed that the convoy had held formation over such trying terrain. The troop carriers remaining sandwiched between the battle tanks, the walkers stalking their flanks.
Steady as earth.
Kalvar began the rite of firing.
Fluid like water.
He reached forward with his left hand and stroked the rifle's barrel.
Whisper like air.
Making a final adjustment to the scope, he activated the gun's underslung marker light.
Burn like fire.
Kalvar closed his eyes. When he opened them again, the lead battle tank was centered in his sights. He fired the marker light, tagging the tank, then each of the others in turn. A little over 2 kilometers away, a Skyray gunship whispered into life. Its thrusters gently nudged it up off the rock bed, dislodging the layer of sand that had settled on it, and maneuvered it into firing position. The gunship's turret rotated, its missile rack tracking towards Kalvar's markers. One after another, the 6 Seeker missiles blazed into life and shot into the air. Kalvar stared at the convoy and waited. It would take the missiles time to reach target acquisition altitude, and more again for their onboard target locks to calculate the optimum attack trajectory. Next, the missiles' boosters would cut out, removing any trace of their energy signature, leaving them to plummet towards the ground. At the last possible moment, the boosters would reignite, burning with the full fury of the firecast as they sped the missiles towards their targets. Kalvar activated the light dampener on his scope. The first missile darted out of the clouds and hit the lead battle tank in its weaker rear armor. The warhead detonated on impact, reducing the tank to a crumpled mess of flaming metal. The second missile swung around the tree line and struck the right side tracks of the rear battle tank. The blast flipped the vehicle. It landed hard, crushing its own turret and triggering a raft of secondary detonations that blew out its exposed underside. The rest of the convoy began reacting, fanning out in panic. 2 of the transports stopped. 10 humans rushed from each, their weapons raised, and formed a cordon around the command transport. The 3rd missile roared down from the sky on a pillar of fire to strike the roof of the final battle tank, smashing its turret and multi-barreled weapons.
Timing.
Kalvar grinned as the heat from the flames enveloping the tank set off its ammo reserves. The 9 guardsmen stood nearest the tank were torn apart, shredded as the high-caliber slugs tore through their bodies. The squad's sole survivor sank to his knees, his face bathed in blood and fleshy matter. Kalvar whispered the axiom of mindfulness and smiled.
It is a careless warrior who allows himself to be burned by his own flame.
Gripped by panic, the twin walkers opened fire, their weapons churning up trees and undergrowth as they searched the valley for vengeance. Their crazed fusillade came to an abrupt end as a missile slammed into each of them. Their ruined legs remained upright for a moment, twitching briefly before collapsing. The 6th and final missile struck the command transport, demolishing the fore portion of its hull and enveloping the aft in fire. The transport's door blew open, propelling from the vehicle like an expended round. Kalvar watched dispassionately as a huddle of humans in uniform half leapt, half fell out of the doorway. 2 of them clung to the ground, rolling around to douse the flames that were licking across their clothing. Kalvar tracked the human officer, reading his lips as the human waved his weapon around and demanded an explanation. The remaining humans formed a huddle around their commander, weapons tracking in every direction. Kalvar squeezed the trigger of his rifle, tagging the officer with his marker light. The sniper drone fired before the gun's trigger had even reset. The officer's torso came apart in a flash, vaporized by the rail round. For a heartbeat, the guardsman didn't move, fixed in place by the sudden carnage. Terrified, the guardsman opened fire. Frantic, undisciplined volleys hammered into the hillside as the humans tried in vain to end the nightmare they had stumbled upon. Kalvar ignored the humans and focused his attention on the single remaining transport. Its engines had slowed to idle, its turret panning for targets.
Show yourselves.
Kalvar fought down the urge to break from cover and blast his way inside the vehicle. He took a breath. He had come too far to throw his life away now. But perhaps he had been hasty. Perhaps he should have taken the target out with one of the Seeker missiles. No. Kalvar tightened his grip on his rifle. He would see the target with his own scope. He would look into its monstrous eyes when he killed it. A few moments later, his patience was rewarded. The transport's ramp dropped to the ground, and five yellow armored giants emerged in quick order, fanning out to cover the angles, appraising the situation down the barrels of their heavy guns. If he did not hate them with every fiber of his being, Kalvar would have admired them. Where the humans were frightened, cowering behind whatever cover they could, the Space Marines stood in the open, untroubled by the death and destruction he had wrought around them.
Cease fire.
One of the Space Marines barked the command. Lost to panic, the humans ignored him and continued to fire. Kalvar watched as the Space Marine moved to the guardsman. Clamping his gauntlet around the barrel of one of the humans' weapons, he pulled it from his hand.
Cease fire. Do not waste your ammunition, or I will expend mine on you.
Faced with a more immediate threat, the humans eased off their triggers. Kalvar studied the Space Marine. Judging by the elaborate insignia and raft of parchment adorning his pauldron, he was the squad leader. Yes, Kalvar nodded to himself. He would be the first to die.
We are being manipulated. We must...
At a command from Kalvar, his drones attacked. Crisscrossing each other in a deadly ballet, they strafed the Imperial forces with a hail of photon grenades. The guardsmen fell to the ground, screaming in agony as the grenades exploded amongst them with ear-splitting violence. Blood streamed from their eyes and ears as the sensory overload tore at their sanity. A few managed to clamp their hands over their ears and screwed their eyes shut. Most simply spasmed on the ground, throttled by their own nervous systems. The drone's pulse carbines finished the job, executing the twitching guardsmen with bursts of lancing plasma. A pair of heavy gun drones darted out of the tree line and engaged the Space Marines, their burst cannons blazing on full auto. The Space Marines returned fire without pause, engaging the drones with practiced precision, even as their armor chipped and cracked under the attention of the Tau weaponry. One of the drones exploded, hammered from existence by a hail of bolt rounds. Another banked sharply to avoid the same fate, sending the last of its ammunition chewing up across the squad leader's shoulder guard and into his helmet. The Space Marine slumped to the ground, his body and face a mess of bloody holes. Kalvar shifted his attention to the carrier as its turret-mounted weapon spat superheated laser towards the circling gun drone. He took aim at the weapon, tagging the space between two of its spinning barrels with his marker light. Behind him, a sniper drone fired. The rail round punched through the gun's barrel, sending a ripple of explosions traversing back along its length to the turret base. A second detonation within the tank sent a plume of ash and smoke sparking from the back of the vehicle. Kalvar stared at the carrier's open hatchway, his finger hovering over his rifle's trigger. A moment later, and another of the Space Marines emerged, striding down the ramp, heedless of the flames dancing over his armor. A line of script ran across the top of Kalvar's display, confirming what he already knew. This was Orshar's killer, the Target.
Patience will pierce even a rock.
Kalvar let the words ready his mind and put down his rifle, unslinging Orshar from across his back. Activating the weapon's scope, he settled back into the firing position, adjusting slightly for the extra weight of the weapon. Orshar had equipped his rifle with an enlarged power pack, enabling it to fire rounds at a higher than standard velocity. Through habit, Kalvar checked the shot counter, though he knew the answer. Only a single round remained unfired in Orsha's weapon. One shot. One target.
As the arms will it.
He smiled at the nature of fate and sighted down Orsha's rifle. Three of the Space Marines remained. They had finished off his gun drones and formed up around the target.
Fair, eh?
Kalvar cursed. A clean shot was unlikely. He activated the rifle's underslung marker light and slaved two of the nearby sniper drones to it. They would aim at what he aimed at, fire when he fired. Kalvar took aim at the target's breastplate, drawing an imaginary line through the intervening Space Marine. It was the thickest point of the armor, but the easiest to hit. A calculated risk, and one that the overcharged rifle went some way to offsetting. A blue rune flashed in the corner of Kalvar's helm display. The sniper drones were now almost equidistant from the target. Their shots would impact near simultaneously. He made one final adjustment to the drone's positions to account for wind speed and the increased velocity of the round he would be firing.
Pure ill.
Vengeful kill. The ancient word left Kalvar's lips without conscious thought. He exhaled. And fire. The trio of rail rounds raced through the air. The first struck the intervening Space Marine, shattering his breastplate and passing out through his back. The second speared through the hole in the Space Marine's torso to strike the energy field enveloping the target. There was a flash of blue lightning as the shield flared and failed. Kalvar's round struck home last, punching into the Tech Marine's chest and toppling him to the ground. The remaining two Space Marines reacted instantly, somehow able to track the final round to its point of origin. Kalvar scooped up his own rifle and rolled right as the Space Marine's weapons chattered to life. Still rolling, he tagged them both with his marker light and initiated the pair of sniper drones' fire and move protocols. The drones darted from cover, one firing while the other moved, leapfrogging around the Space Marines. They were caught by surprise. One of them beheaded in short order as a rail round tore through his pauldron and neck. The surviving Space Marine managed to unload a salvo into one of the drones, blowing it out of the air before the other shot him through the knee. He stumbled forward, catching himself with his free hand, and continued to fire. In his moment's respite, Kalvar caught sight of the target. He was getting up. His enemy pushed himself to his feet. The target's chest plate was still smoldering from the heat of the rail round. Kalvar opened fire, but the target was too fast, ducking inside the ruined transport for cover. A warning flashed across his display as the other sniper drone was damaged. Feeding another power pack into his rifle, he targeted the wounded Space Marine, blowing his weapon arm off at the elbow. The weapon clattered to the ground, the Space Marine's finger still clamped around its trigger. The target bounded down the transport's ramp with a glowing pistol in one hand and what looked to be some form of launcher held over his opposite shoulder. Kalvar fired. The shot missed, stabbing into the earth as the target dived forward. Rolling onto his feet, the target swung up his pistol and blasted apart the remaining sniper drone before leveling the launcher. Kalvar felt his heart race as he scanned the area. There was nothing but light trees and small rocks, insufficient cover to shelter behind. In desperation, he hit the recall button on his squadron of shield drones. They hurtled towards him at maximum acceleration as the target fired. Kalvar directed them into a curving line in front of him, their energy shields overlapping with a crackle. Less than a heartbeat later, the missile exploded, hammering his makeshift energy barrier. The chamber of bonding was lit by a single brazier, an echo of the flame that burned in the breast of all the firecast. Situated in the very center of the chamber, its glow cast spectral faces across the rock of the walls and reached up to lick the low ceiling.
It is smaller than I had imagined.
Kalvar nodded, but said nothing. Like Orsha, he had not set foot on a Sept world since taking up a weapon. The rough-hewn, brutal cavern was in stark contrast to the clean lines and smooth decking of the warships on which he had spent his life. Breathing deeply, he filled his lungs with the thick incense that swam in the air.
We stand on honored Viola, on the earth that birthed the warrior caste. We walk amongst the ghosts of heroes. What we do now, we do not do lightly.
Sasla paused a moment to let the weight of his words settle.
Come.
As was his right, Sasla walked ahead of Kalvar and Orsha, leading them down through the cavern and up onto the Eternal Circle. Carved into a raised dais of rock hundreds of years before, the circle had the same dimensions as the ones Kalvar had seen etched into the ceremonial hangars of the warships he'd served aboard. It was the focal point for all bonding rituals, a reminder that a warrior's spirit had no beginning and no end.
Only in fire can a weapon be forged.
Sasla crossed into the center of the circle and tugged on a length of brass chain connected to the brazier. The action opened a small shutter set into the brazier's base, allowing a single ember to fall to the ground. The errant flame ignited the oil that pooled in the recessed outline of the Eternal Circle. Kalvar stepped over the flames, welcoming the heat, and knelt together with Sasla and Orsha. As was tradition, the three sat equidistant from one another. They were as the targeting triangle set within the circle of a rifle's scope.
Ancestors, bear witness. Auns, honor our vow.
Sasla gestured for them to begin, and the three bowed to one another before unsheathing their bonding knives.
My life is your life, and your life is my life.
Kalvar drew his knife across his chest, cutting a deep gash across his heart. Breathing through the pain, he passed his blade to Sasla as he gave his to Orsha.
My strength is your strength, and your strength is my strength.
With Orsha's knife, Kalvar cut into his bicep, drawing the blade down his forearm. The pain was intense, but honor demanded silence.
My path is your path, and your path is my path.
Kalvar took Sasla's knife and made the final mark, a thin line across his forehead. He could feel his rising pulse beating in his neck, its thrum threatening to overwhelm him. Accepting his blade from Orsha, he slashed his palm, clenching his fist to squeeze three drops of blood onto the ground.
With blood, we strengthen the circle and our bond with those who have bled before us.
As the Auns will it.
Kalvar bowed his head and struggled to his feet. The Talissa Rava was complete. They were as one being, bonded in mind, body, and spirit. The Eternal Circle could not be broken. All would live, or all would die. Kalvar opened his eyes and saw nothing. The piercing flash of the shield drone's overloading had shorted out his helmet's optical array. He coughed violently, feeling the bones in his chest grind in response. Fighting through pain worse than any he had faced, Kalvar unclipped his helmet and let the blood that was filling his mouth drip onto the ground. Struggling to lift his head, he stared up at the sky. Its blue-gray reminded him of the Chamber of Bonding. He thought of Sasla, of Orsha, of the target. The target was coming for him. Kalvar propped himself up on his elbows and scanned for his rifle. There was no sign of the weapon. Thick mucus dripped from his mouth as his organs began failing.
Great Auns, accept me.
Kalvar eased himself down onto his back, closed his eyes, and listened to the footsteps as they drew nearer. Slowing his breathing, he fought to hang on to what little life he had left. He did not need long. Kalvar knew the target was standing over him. He had felt the slight change in temperature as its bulk cast a shadow over him. He opened his eyes to stare up the barrel of the Space Marine's pistol.
Where are your filthy accomplices hiding?
The target's voice rasped through his damaged helmet. His armor was scorched and battered, its crimson hue worn and tarnished.
I am?
The words cost Kalvar more blood as he convulsed between syllables.
All.
He looked down at his belt, finding Sasla's helmet still locked to his hip.
One.
Kalvar was unsure if it was surprise or admiration he heard in the Space Marine's voice.
Do not lie.
The Space Marine's helm sparked as it malfunctioned, its glowering optics flickering and dying like the final embers of an inferno. Devoid of his helm, the Space Marine looked even more monstrous. His jaw had been replaced by a plate of metal. Wires bulged beneath his grayed skin like veins, and his eyes shone red with augmentation.
Tell me where they are, and I will kill you cleanly.
The target's voice was harsh and gnarled. It reminded Calva of the giant compressors that the Earth cast used to terraform rock.
Sasla. Usha.
Shaking, he reached across his chest and grabbed the hilt of his bonding knife.
I would not have credited you, Xenos, with such courage. Never have I met one of your kind who doesn't hide behind his rifle. You are a weak race of Kerr killers.
Tears of agony streaming down his face, Calvar drew his knife from its scabbard. The Space Marine lowered his pistol and drew an axe from across his back.
Perhaps you are just too stupid to know when you are dead.
The Space Marine's weapon hummed into life, a sparking energy field enveloping its thick blade. He raised the weapon to strike. Calvar looked down, turning his knife in his hand, angling the blade towards his own chest. The Space Marine paused.
You proved me right, Xenos. No warrior would yield his life while there is still blood in his veins. Perhaps it is as well you favor this end. I have little wish to sully my blade with your craven flesh.
Calvar took care to wrap each of his fingers around the hilt of his blade.
For the greater good?
With the last of his strength, he tightened his grip. The hilt flashed once, marking the Space Marine's face with a targeting light.
No!
Rage crushing his features, the Space Marine raised his pistol to fire. The Space Marine's head exploded in a hail of brain matter and bone fragments. Calvar looked up, watching as the body toppled, convulsing to the ground. Calvar offered his thanks to the sniper drone who'd taken the shot and slumped down onto his back.
Thank you.
He had lied to the Space Marine. Since the day he had been born, he had never been one. Had never been alone. For that was what it meant to be Tau. To be a single piece of the greater whole. The greater good. The thought brought Calvar warmth as he smiled and closed his eyes.
Howl of the Banshee by Gav Thorpe. Performed by Anne-Marie Guyard, Harriet Kershaw, Susie Riddell, and Caroline Sheen. Directed by Christian Dunn. A single candle guttered atop a slender pedestal at the center of the chamber. Its light barely touched the five female Eldar kneeling in a circle around it, catching them between the warm glow and the chill gloom beyond. They were each clad in tight armor the color of bone, their red tasseled helms held in their laps, heads bowed in contemplation. All was silent. A sixth figure entered, her boots clicking on the marble-like floor as she passed into the ring. Exarch of the Shrine of the Deathly Whale, Cliona. Like the others, her head was bare, helmet carried beneath her left arm. Her head was shaved, and around her eyes was tattooed black, her lips a blood red. In her right hand she carried a long-handled glaive with a crystalline blade. Her chosen weapon, the Executioner. With dark eyes, she looked at each of her charges briefly before speaking. The circle of warriors fixed her with their stares, already beginning the mental preparations that would bring up their war masks and wash away all sense of guilt or regret.
We are come, gathered here together to wage war.
There was no reply from the others. They had felt the call from the shrine. They knew their purpose. Only one reacted. A sharp intake of breath from Kyliak, who had not yet shed blood in battle. When Cliona spoke next, the Exarch stood beside the newest to hear the howl of the Banshee.
The Seers speak. They witness great evil, and we act. A craft world, silent Lanimayesh, threatens us. Ancient foes, creatures of dark power, seeking us. Gates open, the webway corrupted. Bieltan falls.
The Exarch paused and looked in turn at each of the others to ensure they understood the importance of the threat.
We will fight to purge Lanimayesh as escort. The gates closed, Lanimayesh destroyed. Bieltan lives.
Nodding in understanding, the assembled warriors stood as one. Cliona disappeared into the darkness for a moment and returned with a silver bowl, its exterior etched with swirling shapes that made screaming half-faces and glaring eyes. Within was the blood of the shrine members, still warm, freely given when they had entered. Dipping her fingers into the blood, Cliona walked the circle, starting with Kyliak, and drew upon the forehead of each warrior the rune of the Banshee, the name of bloody-handed Cain in his aspect of the foretold doom. As her fingers touched upon Kyliak's brow, Cliona began the chant.
Blood runs, anger rises, death wakes, war calls, blood runs.
As the blood dried on her skin, Kyliak added her voice to the mantra, her voice wavering at first, but growing stronger as her war mask pushed away the vestiges of fear and guilt that had no place in the mind of a warrior.
Anger rises, death wakes, war calls.
Next was Fianna, her pale eyes already deadened, so swift to assume the mask.
Blood runs, anger rises, death wakes.
The howl of the Banshee sang loudly in her mind, but now was not the time to warn of becoming trapped in Cain's embrace. Her voice was strident.
Blood runs, anger rises, death wakes, war calls.
Narimeth, a crooked smile on her lips, glanced up at her exarch as the rune was daubed. When she joined the chorus, the volume increased, each warrior feeding off the emotion of the others. The joy of battle was singing in their hearts, lifting their voices.
Anger rises. Death wakes.
Mithaneth's voice added another level to the harmony, calm and collected, filled with inner strength. It brought balance to the chant, enriching the minds of her fellow warriors with its placid depth.
Death wakes.
Finally, Lorelei was wetted with the blood and she shuddered, a sigh escaping parted lips as her war mask consumed her. The chanting became strident, the warriors with teeth bared, eyes wide. Where six individuals had entered, there stood six sisters. Six sisters united in blood. Six sisters who hearkened to the shriek of blood calling to be spilt, of dooms to be fulfilled and life threads to be severed. Six howling banshees, voices as one, let out an ululating cry that reverberated around the chamber, ringing out through the cosmos, echoing back to the dawn of myths when the deathly wail of Cain's siren signalled the destruction of worlds. Of energy heralded the opening of the webway portal, through which the warriors of the Deathly Wail advanced quickly, power swords and shuriken pistols held at the ready. Passing from the pulsing background hum into the still of Lanimayesh, the howling banshees were joined by others, red armoured fire dragons and two squads of blue-clad dire Avengers. It did not escape the attention of Lorelei that the white coronas of the webway openings were tainted with flickers of dark red flame.
Already the grip of darkness takes hold, sisters.
All the more reason for swiftness, sisters. Let us be the point of the dagger that strikes.
Kyliak ran a few steps further than the others, blade held out beside her, light footsteps echoing in the grand hall the warriors now occupied.
Caution, sister. We move as one.
Lorelei caught up with swift strides and glanced back. She could feel the brooding presence that was trying to force its way into the craft world through its dormant, undefended webway gates. Cliona brought the rest of the shrine maidens forward, while the other aspect warriors moved to secure the two passageways leading from the chamber.
Feel no haste. There is one to arrive. Wait for now.
Last to appear in the depths of the abandoned craft world was Tyliana, the Farseer, leader of the expedition. Garbed in long purple robes, face hidden behind the mask of his gem-studded ghost helm, the Psyker gestured for the warriors to follow as he set across the broad chamber. Passing the dire Avengers from the Shrine of the Golden Star, he led them into one of the corridors, and the small force fell in behind him. The Howling Banshees moved to a position just behind the Golden Star, ready to spring forward against any foe that survived the dire Avengers' shuriken catapults. The other squad of dire Avengers followed close behind, while the Fire Dragons brought up the rear. The passage was short, but showed further evidence of the encroaching warp corruption. The pastel blue walls were darkening in patches as chaos energy leaked along the crystal matrix of the infinity circuit within. Golden arched doorways were turning to iron and brass. The scent of blood, faint but unmistakable, hung in the air. Narameth voiced a concern that was not unique to her.
Perhaps we should have brought greater numbers. The Farseers have misjudged the extent of Lanamayesh's vulnerability.
There was no comment from Tyliana, so it was Metheneth that replied.
Bulk stifles swiftness. A larger force would be more unwieldy, and to tarry too long here will bring its own hazards. Do you not agree, Lorelei, my sister?
You are correct, sister. The greater our number, the greater the likelihood that our presence is noticed by powers we wish to overlook us. The swift strike, the blow that is unseen, is deadly.
The Exarch's words ended the discussion, and they continued without further comment. At the end of the passageway, Tyliana paused for a moment. The hall beyond was on the outskirts of the central infinity circuit chambers, and the walls glistened with threads of crystal. Unlike the glittering trails of Bieltan's psychic matrix, the circuit of Lanamayesh was dull, unalive. Where the crystal lines joined together as larger nodes, trickles of thick red fluid dribbled down the walls. The Howling Banshees looked at each other, but it was Fianna that was most affected.
A sign of that which wishes to enter. Blood. The Skull King desires Lanamayesh. Do you not feel his call, sisters?
Heed not the urges of the father of our bastard master. It is not rage that we serve, but a purer war.
All war is rage, sister, whether knowing or not. The Lord of the Brass Tower seeks to make a shrine of once fair Lanamayesh so that his servants can revel in the bloodshed that sowed death upon the people of this place in ancient past.
Mention of Lanamayesh's doom sent a collective shudder of apprehension and excitement through the other Howling Banshees, save for Cliona, who was standing still, head tilted, as if listening intently. The others heard what had caught her attention a moment later.
They have come! Hear the Blood God servants! Ready, blades!
Eight demons came, and eight more, and eight again. Violent rage given form in blood-red flesh. In clawed hands, they gripped brazen swords and serrated axes. White orb eyes glared from snarling faces. Twisted horns jutted from anger-furrowed brows. By many names did the Eldar know Khorne's foot soldiers. The Gore Children. Sons of Rage. blood letters. With them advanced a larger brute, a gleaming axe in each hand. The herald lifted up its blades, and from its fanged mouth issued a monstrous bellow, both a challenge for its foes and a call to battle for its followers. The demon's shouts were met by the song of the Dire Avenger shuriken catapults, the air filling with slicing discs. Warp-spawned bodies were shredded and flayed by the fusillade, but only a handful of the demons fell as they broke into a run. Immaterial forms shuddered and twitched as the Dire Avengers continued with their onslaught, but these creatures were not of mortal flesh and bone, and shrugged off their wounds like the bites of flies, forcing the blue-armored Eldar to fall back. Tyliana retreated before the demons, seeking shelter amongst the fire dragons, as Kyona led her warriors forward.
To the right! We fall upon their flank! Swiftly now!
White-hot blasts from the fire dragons' thermal guns and their exarch's firepike cut into the approaching demons with no greater success than the guns of their fellow warriors. Fiery beams that could melt through the armor of tanks and turn physical flesh to cinders were shrugged off like water splashing from rock, and only a few more demons were destroyed by the volley. The howling banshees circled around the withdrawing Aspect warriors and broke into a run. As they charged, the war sisters of the Deathly Wail let forth their battle screams. Channeled through the psychosonic amplifiers of their helms, the shriek became a surge of power, slamming into the demons like a gale. The closest blood-red warriors were thrown from their feet by the pealing cry. Others dropped their blades or stumbled back as a wave of psychic fury washed over them. Kyliak outpaced her sisters, her long strides fueled by naive enthusiasm. Her pistols spat a volley of shurikens into a demon as it pushed itself back to its knees, slicing through its face. Her sword, its blade glowing with blue energy, followed a moment later, shearing through the corded muscle and veins of its neck.
Let us be upon them while they reel! As one, we fight as one! Four on the left, sister!
Lorelei's warning came in time. Kyliak twisted, ducking beneath the sweep of an axe. The point of her sword sank into the gut of the demon as she pivoted on one heel, the ball of her foot driving into its chin. Stunned, the bloodletter stumbled back, to be met by Mithaneth's sword as she sprinted into the fray. Fianna joined them a heartbeat later, her blade flashing to the left and right, leaving arcs of blue around her.
Kaliak's temper has it right! Slaughter them quickly and rejoice!
The other howling banshees swept into the disorientated demons like a spear of ivory cleaving into red flesh, their pistols and swords cutting down a dozen of the creatures before they could recover from the onslaught of the banshee scream that had dazed them. None slew more than Kyliak, whose shining glaive cut heads from necks and slashed limbs from bodies in a constant motion, the barks and growls of her foes becoming louder and fiercer as their numbers dwindled and their anger increased in proportion. Teeth bared, the herald moved through its minions to meet the charge of the Elder, hefting its axes ready for the strike. Overcome by the heat of combat, Kyliak leapt to the attack. Lorelei called out in concern.
No, sister! You cannot best this beast alone!
The herald caught Kyliak's downward swing on one of its curling horns, turning the blow aside. Striking out, it punched her in the face, hurling her backwards with the mask of her helm cracked open. Kyona acted rather than spoke. She lanced the point of her glaive towards the herald's throat, but the strike was deflected at the last moment by the haft of an axe. Spinning, Kyona struck again. Crystal blade was met by enchanted bronze as the herald raised its axes in parry to the exarch's assault. For several heartbeats, the two were locked together, flares of energy crackling between them, sparking from their weapons. With a triumphant snarl, the herald thrust away Kyona, sending her sprawling from her feet. The howling banshees converged on their upended leader, but not swiftly enough. Striking with a speed that outmatched its adversaries, the Herald of Khorne brought both axes down upon the stricken exarch. One blade cleaved Kyona's helm in two, the other slammed through her